And welcome to this first episode of Season 4 of the Regulatory Radio podcast series. My name is Wayne Howell, head of the regulatory staffing team at FRAIR. And in this episode, we will be introducing biologics, biosimilars, and the regulatory pathways in the EU. Biological product therapies have revolutionized the treatment of patients suffering from some chronic ailments, and we shall discuss more in detail with our speaker, Michael Lambeau. Michael, or Mick for short, is Senior Vice President of the Medicinal Products Regulatory Affairs at FRAIR, and in this podcast series, he'll take us through some of the regulatory requirements related to the biological products in the EU in future episodes. Let's hear from Mick now.
Hello, Wayne, and thanks very much for having me as a speaker in this podcast series. I'm very much looking forward to discussing more about biological products and some common topics that arise in this area.
Sure, Mick. Could we start with you saying a few words defining what biologics are?
Thanks, Wayne. That's a good place to start. Biologics or biological products are medicines containing one or more active substances made by or derived from living organisms manufactured through highly complex processes and must be handled and administered under carefully monitored conditions. Biologics are used to prevent, treat, or cure a variety of diseases, including some cancers, chronic kidney disease, diabetes, cystic fibrosis, and autoimmune disorders, among others. Biologics are at the forefront of scientific and biomedical research and may be able to treat various diseases that do not, so far, have other viable treatments available.
Thanks, Mick. I also wanted to understand what kind of products are classified as biologics.
Well, biologics include a wide variety of products such as therapeutic proteins, monoclonal antibodies, vaccines, cell and gene therapies, blood derivatives, plasma derivatives, and other innovative treatments.
So what would you say are the more common differences between a biologic drug and small molecule drug?
A very general definition is that small molecules are typically low molecular weight, with relatively straightforward structures, although that's not always the case, and they are chemically derived, whereas biologics have a high molecular weight with complex structures and are produced or derived from living cells. In addition, in general, when compared with small molecules, biologics have more complex manufacturing processes and there is the potential for greater batch-to-batch variability, although we do try to take steps to minimize this. Also, in very general terms, biologics often require storage in controlled conditions, while small molecule products can have a more robust stability profile, although this is not always the case.
Thanks, Mick. And could you say a few words about biosimilars?
Sure. A biosimilar is a biological medicine which is highly similar to another already approved biological medicine, otherwise known as the reference medicine. Biosimilars are approved according to the same standards of pharmaceutical quality, safety, and efficacy that apply to all biological medicines. The European Medicines Agency, or EMA, is responsible for evaluating the majority of applications to market biosimilars in the European Union.
That helps, thanks. Now, is there a particular regulatory pathway that we need to follow to achieve approval for biologics and biosimilars in the EU?
Yes, there is, Wayne. All the biotechnology-derived products are mandatorily approved via the centralized procedure, meaning by direct submission to the EMA. Biologics are approved on the basis of Article 8.3 of Directive 2001/83/EC, and they benefit from a market exclusivity period. Biosimilars are approved on the basis of Article 10.4 of the same directive, and it should be noted that at the time of submission of the similar biological application, the data exclusivity of the reference medicinal product should have expired in order to allow the applicant to rely on the clinical and non-clinical data of the reference medicinal product.
Another question I have relates to the general requirements for biologic and biosimilar applications. Can you talk a little bit about this?
Yes, certainly. For any biological medicine with a new active substance, a positive benefit-risk balance is determined mainly from evidence of safety and efficacy in pivotal trials in humans supported by quality data and non-clinical data. For biosimilars, a positive benefit-risk balance is based on demonstrating biosimilarity, that is, that the active substance is highly similar to the reference medicine. This is achieved via comprehensive comparability studies with the reference medicine and on the basis of solid quality data. Clinical and non-clinical data also need to be considered for demonstrating comparability. By demonstrating high similarity with the reference medicine, the biosimilar can largely rely on the efficacy and safety experience gained with the reference medicine.
And still regarding the application, is a particular dossier format required for biological biosimilar product submissions?
Well, the main requirements are that the dossier should consist of modules 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and should follow the requirements as laid down in ICH CTD M4, the common technical document. In addition, the marketing authorization package needs to be submitted in an electronic CTD format through the EMA's e-submission gateway.
Okay, and then after submission, how does the application progress through the various stages of review and evaluation?
After submitting the application, the Committee for Medicinal Products for Human Use, the CHMP, will undertake the assessment of the application. And then for each application for a new medicine, two committee members, known as the rapporteur and the co-rapporteur from different member states, are appointed to lead the assessment. The role of the rapporteur and co-rapporteur is to conduct the scientific evaluation of the medicinal product independently from each other. The CHMP's assessments are based on a comprehensive scientific evaluation of data. They determine whether the medicine meets the necessary quality, safety, and efficacy requirements, and that it has a positive risk-benefit balance. They also identify questions that will have to be answered by the applicant. As a result of the discussions, and as new information becomes available during the assessment, either from additional experts or from clarifications provided by the applicant, the scientific arguments are refined and a final recommendation is given. In the case of advanced therapies, the CAT, or the Committee for Advanced Therapies, leads the assessment, for example, for gene therapies, tissue engineering, and cell-based medicines. And regarding timelines, the agency ensures that the opinion of the CHMP is given within 210 days, not counting clock stops within the procedure, and in accordance with the standard timetable.
Mick, I have one more question to round off this introductory episode. What is scientific advice, and what kind of questions are addressed during this step?
During a medicine's development, a developer can ask for guidance and direction from the EMA on the best methods and study designs to generate robust information on how well a medicine works and how safe it is. Medicine developers can request scientific advice or protocol assistance either during the initial development of a medicine, before submission of a marketing authorization application, or later on, during the post-authorization phase. Manufacturers can approach the agency for questions and guidance related to quality aspects, non-clinical and clinical aspects and plans, issues related to methodology, use of appropriate statistical tests, data analysis and simulation, and other areas too, so it really can cover quite a wide range.
Many thanks, Mick. That was an insightful first episode introducing us to biological products and the EU regulatory approval pathways.
Thanks, Wayne. My pleasure.
Okay, and following this introductory episode on biological products and related regulations, stay tuned for more informative discussions in the episodes ahead.